Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Our God and King, we bless and extol your name forever and ever. If it were not for you, nothing good would dwell in us. We thank you for the gift of trusting faith by which you bind us to yourself as your people. Help us always to live our lives in service to you and in service to our neighbor. In your mercy, be with all who are weary and heavy laden by the trials and tribulations of this life. Give comfort to all who suffer illness. Reassure them that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, and that in you they will find rest for their souls. We pray today especially for those who have requested our petitions on their behalf. Especially we pray for those who are grieving the death of loved ones, including the family and friends of Tim Bryant. Bring comfort, peace, hope, and reassurance to all who are grieving the death of loved ones. We pray also for those who are facing or recovering from health-related concerns. William Bullock, Lois Becker, Scott Parisot, Eleanor Ortiz, Carl Dissler, Marge and Don Nettle, Christine Hall, Robert Waldron, Bob Sack, Dolores Allen, Lenore Stevens, Bob Ernewine, Roger, Myla, Pedro's father, Lois Anderson, Helen Hotacki, Melanie Swanson, Eric Rolfe, Danielle, Dan Monger, Betty Pottinger, Don Miller, Gay Lathrop, Tim Frost, Amy, and Sue. Dear Father, remind these of your presence and your power to bring healing to them. We pray also for those who are in hospice care. Grant to all of them comfort and peace and faith and reassurance and hope as they await your call home. Continue to pray for our president and all local, national, and world leaders. Father, grant them wisdom and insight in making decisions that are in the best interests of the people they serve. We give you thanks, Lord, for all who are serving in the armed forces of our nation, and pray your continued blessing would be upon them. And dear Lord, we rejoice with those who are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. And Father, we rejoice with Adam and Randy Semi, who will be celebrating the baptism of their son, Hudson Parker, in their next service. Father, we pray also for Baron and Christina Dorf as they celebrate the baptism of their son, Lucas John, yesterday. Father, we thank you for bringing these little children into your eternal kingdom. We thank you for the flowers on the altar today, given by Tim Dewar. And Lord, we also give you thanks for those who are sponsoring our Family of God soup kitchen this month, the McNaughton family and Mary Lou Mabee, as well as those who are sponsoring the parenting, positive parenting this month, the Glenn Schutz family. To your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your promise to hear and answer according to your divine will. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you. In humble adoration, I kneel before your throne. In brokenness, I seek your face alone. Above you, there's no other who's able to restore my soul. Come and make me whole. Breathe on me. Power of God, come in and change me. I'm ready to surrender, to give you all my life. No matter what the cost or sacrifice, reveal to me your calling. Cleanse me from my prideful ways. Use me now, I pray.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to do a special offering today. Now, you know I'm not like that. I mean, I think, you know, a congregation should get everything that they support out of their operating budget. And, you know, you give through the offering, and that should be enough for the ministry we're going to do, and it shouldn't exceed that. And you know, sometimes you'll go to a church and they'll have an offering, but all of a sudden they got another door collection. They're hitting you up twice. And it's a little frustrating, and you got to put a little more money in. But, you know, okay, but we're going to make an exception. We're going to take a special offering today. Something dear to my heart. Unfortunately, you can't write it off. I got a debt to be paid. I got a speeding ticket. And I want to give you an opportunity to help me pay that ticket. As I told the kids, I went to Cleveland to go see my mom for her birthday. Me and Jake were driving to Cleveland and, you know, got stuck in the traffic jam. And mentally, you want to make up that time. And so, you know, finally, the left lane's open and I'm just going, not really paying attention how fast I'm going. I'm just going, finally making some good time. And all of a sudden, I see a police car. He's got his gun out, radar gun. He backs up. I know he's getting ready to pull on the road. I just turn the right blinker on, go to the side. Now, the one thing you got to learn when you know you're speeding, when you get tinged like that, don't look at your speedometer, because the first question they're going to ask you, just as Officer Camarita asked me, do you know how fast you were going? I don't want to lie. Speed limit's around, well, it's 70, so I'm thinking, 75, 76? He said, no, I clocked you at, I won't share with you how fast. So I give him all my stuff, you know, my wallet, and, you know, you can't put titles on the driver's license, but you can wear a clerical when you get your picture taken. Now, this isn't the first time I've been pulled over, but I haven't had a ticket in years. I'm telling you, this license is magic, just magic. And I'm thinking, boy, you know, this officer, Sergeant Camarita, he's not going to give the good Reverend, Holy Reverend Schlock a ticket, right? You know, after the episode, my son pulls out his phone. I said, don't you dare text your sisters. And you know, so he can see that, you know, I'm maybe a priest, a reverend, something, you know. He doesn't even call me by a title. I'm calling him officer. Why can't he call me pastor or something? Show me some respect. I knew I was in trouble. And, you know, I have a pastor friend, Pastor Pete Nickel. You might know him. He's a volunteer chaplain for the police department. And, you know, he gets a uniform to wear, but better yet, he gets a badge that sits in his wallet. Now I'm thinking, you know, if I had one of those, I'd be golden. And I know you can't impersonate an officer, but can you impersonate a volunteer chaplain? I got to check into that. But anyways, so, you know, we make a copy of this sermon service. We, you know, DVD at 10:30. I'm sending good Sergeant Camarita a DVD. I hope he feels guilty. In fact, this is why I wore my ecclesiastical wear today. I want to look even more important than I am. And I hope he feels really bad. And I want him to know that because of that ticket, I couldn't buy my mom the gift that she wanted. So, yeah. I told my mom the ticket was her gift. There. No, Officer Camarita was very professional, kind. He did his job. You know, that's a hard job to do. He reminded me of the law and should be commended for that. And I think the driver's license did help a little. I'm not going to tell you how fast I was going, but he put me at 75. And I was missing some important paperwork, and he didn't cite me for that either. You know, our epistle lesson for today, it's a continuation of last week. Like Officer Camarita reminded me of the law, Paul's talking about the law and the power of the law and what it does to us. And listen, this is from last week. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would have not known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would have not known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced to me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. Imagine it this way. You're talking to a little child. You tell that child not to touch something. Don't touch this. What are they tempted to do? Yeah, if you didn't say anything, they probably wouldn't have touched it. But all of a sudden, you say, don't touch it. They're tempted to touch it. They want to touch it. Paul is saying, oh my gosh, the law is supposed to be good, and yet it's driving me to sin. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. A slave does what they don't want to do. They do what somebody tells them to do. Paul's saying, I'm a slave. This is our epistle lesson for today. I know the good I want to do, but I can't do it. I keep doing the bad I don't want to do. How often that's happened in our lives. This internal struggle, this sinful nature that is always there, just waiting for opportunity, waiting to spring its ugly head forward and cause us to sin. It's always there. You know what I'm talking about. You can relate to this. You know the good. You know the good you're supposed to do, and then all of a sudden, you stumble. You know the thing you were going to try not to do, all of a sudden you stumbled and you fell right into it again. Paul's saying, it's like I don't have control. I think Jesus is saying that also in Matthew 5. He says, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now, obviously, Jesus is not telling us to cut off our arm. But he's telling us that the body is often used by sin, that sinful nature, and to make us do the things we don't want to do. It doesn't mean we're not accountable. It doesn't mean we're not responsible. But he's talking about this ugly nature. Robert Stevenson, he wrote Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He was a Christian, and he was asked once, what inspired this story of this person who could be so good and then also be so evil? And he said, I found it within myself. It's there. It's in each and every one of us. It's there. It's alive and well. Somebody once was talking to somebody and talking about this internal struggle, and it says it's just a constant war. He said, it's like two dogs battling it out. And his friend asked him, well, which dog wins? And he says, the one I feed more. I like that. The one I feed more. You know, we're all broken here. We all have the things that really tempt us, that really reach out to us, that can have such control. And you think about it, when you feed that, when you put yourself in situations where you shouldn't be, when you throw yourself in the face of temptation, when you indulge in some of those things and say, I'm just going to have a little, it feeds on it, and it grows. Talk to people who have gone through addiction of something. They're just going to have a little. All of a sudden, it's all-consuming. That's why it's important to be in God's Word, to feed yourself with good things. To make that spiritual being within you stronger doesn't mean you're not going to sin. Doesn't mean you're not going to stumble. But how important it is to be in God's Word, coming to church. Sometimes you may think, why do I go to church? What is it about? But it feeds you. Studying your Bible, going to Bible study, reading, contemplating God's Word, it feeds you. And it doesn't even have to be things of God's Word. It can be good things that God has placed in this world. Paul says in Philippians 4, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Paul is saying the things you think about affect who you are. And it's true. What dog are you going to feed? You're going to feed that beast of the sinful nature? Now, I know you're not gonna come forward. Randy, you were speeding. I'm not going to give money to that. Well, I did have somebody give me a penny at 8 o'clock, so I'm well on my way. But you're going to say, that's your debt. You did wrong. You know, if God looked at us that way, where would we be? Isn't that true? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. If God said, it's your debt, you broke my commandment, you did wrong, you pay the price. But that's why it's amazing grace. You and I don't live under the law. That's one thing. Paul's saying the law is useful, but it doesn't save us. We don't live under the law, but we don't get rid of God's law. God's law is there to remind us of how broken we are. God's law not only reveals the heart of God and who he is, but it reminds us that we need to stand in the shadow of the cross each and every day and find and seek that forgiveness. We live in grace. We are going to stumble. We are going to fall. Martin Luther said it so well. We sin because we're sinners. God doesn't expect you to be perfect because he knows you're a sinner. You're just like Paul. The good you want to do, you don't do. And the bad you don't want to do, you're doing. You're still under God's grace. And you can't out-sin God's grace. God is not going to say one day to you, "Bup, you did it one too many times. Don't play me for the fool." Our God is a God of mercy and grace and forgiveness. You get some thought this week to the debt you owe, to the sin you've committed. Just like I won't share with you how fast I was going, you don't have to share it with anybody else but God. And think about how much he loves you, that he would stand in your place and pay that debt for what you did. That's God's love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.
Thank you, Allison. We now rise for the reading of our Holy Gospel. Today's Gospel reading is recorded in Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Here ends the Gospel reading. We join together in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. Of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to his cross, and I bear and Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet well.
From Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched human I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Here ends the Old Testament reading.
Message. Good morning. Happy Easter. It's not Easter. My calendar broken? You're going to discover my watch is broken during the sermon. It must be Easter. I'm giving out Easter eggs. Let's see. The congregation will know. Listen to what they say. The Lord is risen. Hallelujah.
Risen indeed.
Hallelujah. It must be Easter. You know, God's people used to worship on Saturday. And Jesus came back to life on Sunday. And so they got together and thought, maybe we should worship on Sunday, and every Sunday will be an Easter celebration. And really, that's what we do. We have an Easter celebration every Sunday, and we're reminded that Jesus is victorious over death. I was in Cleveland just about a week ago, visiting my mom for her birthday, and I had to dig up a bush for her and pull out this bush, and it's been there a while, and within the roots, this egg popped out. Now, my children would be the youngest grandchildren of my mom and dad. And so my kids are pretty old. My youngest is 21. So this egg has been there quite a while. And I couldn't wait to open it up. I knew there wasn't money in. My dad never gave money away. But there might be some candy still in it. So I opened it up, and really, there was some dirt and this wrapper for one of those Jolly Rancher candies. look, it's totally gone. And I thought, wow, the egg is really empty, just like the tomb. And I got to celebrate Easter again because I need to be reminded that Jesus forgives all my sins. So I want to wish you a happy Easter. Say happy Easter. I'm not giving you an egg. Happy Easter. Okay, let me go get the eggs. And I want to thank you for coming up. And you can take more than what I was expecting, a big crowd, because it's Easter, but. Oh, don't take that.
We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Please be seated.
Invite the children to come up for the children's good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to worship, and as always, don't forget to sign the guest card at some point during our worship service. Also, coffee hour immediately following in the town square, so please make it a point to attend and grab a snack and have some fellowship. Our Redeemer camp is just around the corner, and we are in need of some supplies for crafts, and we have that list in your announcements. We need those by July 16th. So if you could help, we would appreciate it. Also, Camp Restore, we're doing a meal there tomorrow. We have five people going, but take time to read about Camp Restore in the back of your announcements. Camp Restore, there's one in New Orleans, there's one in Baton Rouge. Those are the places that Redeemer has stayed in the past. Now one is opened in Detroit. And so we're going to take a turn in feeding the volunteers that come from other states who work in downtown Detroit. Stitching time tomorrow at 1 o'clock. A day at the Hollis's Cottage, July 20th. You do need to sign up for that. And the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, there's going to be a celebration at the Breslin Center in Lansing. And if you're interested in going, or tickets are free, sign up, Town Square, we'll order your tickets. And we're looking at getting a bus so we could do some tailgating before the worship service. And with that, we'd rise for opening hymn.